Still collecting information. Some of you may have noticed Wednesday there was a shooting, another mass shooting up in Minneapolis. And some information started to trickle out on the shooter. And it was found out, it was discovered that he was transgender. And I got to noticing then that several comments that were made by leading political strategists, politicians, people. Maybe in one case, Gavin Newsom, who wants to be president of the United States. And I have a quote from him. But some things were said about that shooting that I found interesting and reminded me of some Bible passages that I want to go over in connection with some of these things. But the first thing I wanted to do was talk a little bit about these mass shootings that have been done by self-identified transgender people. You know, is there any linkage there? Some people are quick to point out that, well, you know, it's not they're not all transgenders that are doing the shootings. And I always find it fascinating that people that do studies in demographics, politicians are really big on this. I mean, that's what all of these discussions are going on right now in Texas and what they've just done in redrawing their electoral map. It's all about demographics. And so people talk about that all the time until something like this happens, and then all of a sudden they don't want to talk about demographics. What if you were to do that? Well, there's just been a trend in the past few years of trans shooters. And sometimes at schools, like just happened Wednesday morning, this past Wednesday morning. This was a Catholic school. They were actually at Mass, and they were in all together in a room. And apparently this shooter, the young man, could not get into the facility, but he shot through a window and did a lot of damage to lives. A lot of damage to people. So I wanted to think about this and talk about this just a little bit. On this matter of them liberals arguing, well, it's not that many. There, you know, have been other shooters and other shootings where they weren't transgender. Well, that's true. But if you look at the ratios, if you look at the percentages and the demographics of it, then this is a little bit startling. So most liberal media won't do that. They don't want to do that because they will find the truth and tell people the truth. That actually there is a problem here. There is a trend in this direction. And what is causing it? I think people know what is causing it. It's psychological. And too many times, as a lot of people have been willing to say, willing to admit, medical professionals and researchers, it is these hormone drugs that they're giving these young children, these young kids, young adults, and they go contrary to human wiring, to human design. If you are actually a female and you're given testosterone, the female mind and female body is simply not equipped for that. It was never designed to operate that way. And so there's a little bit of a wiring issue here, maybe things that relate to the psyche, to the conscience. And those are the things people don't want to talk about. But this incident happened, of course, Wednesday morning. The man was self-identified as transgender, a male wanting to be a woman. So his real name was Robert Westman, but he went by Robin, changed his name to Robin in order to accommodate his transgender change. And in this shooting, he killed two, we've learned. Of course, so far that's what we know. There's one, at least one, still very critical in the hospital. And then 17 others, 14 children. These were children. For example, the two he killed were ages 8 and 10. They were very young. Three of them, of the 17 who were injured, were adults. But nonetheless, you're talking about a lot of people who were injured and then two who were killed by someone who was a self-professed transgender. Has that happened before? Has it been very long ago that right down here, and I saw a lot. In fact, I actually talked to a person who knew one of the people who was involved in that shooting. I ran into them in Nashville. It was kind of an odd thing. And they were talking about, had some information on this one. But you remember in March of 2023, self-identified transgender Audrey, renamed herself Aiden Hale, killed three children and three staff members at the Covenant School down there in Nashville. Just a couple of years ago that happened. It was very controversial. That one was pretty controversial because that took place under the Biden administration, and the Biden Justice Department determined that they would not release that manifesto. You know, many of us, when it came out that this girl was transgender, wanted to know what she said, what her motivations were, why did she attack a religious school, and it finally came out, but it took some years for that information to be released. And she, of course, it was all about transgenderism. And sometimes we're kind of up against a block wall when you have government supporting this type of thing. And that happened in this case. Government, liberals, mainly Democrats, were bent on protecting the transgender aspect of that. They do the same thing with that they do with homosexuality and abortion. It's all about the same. So that happened a couple of years ago, pretty close to home from here. On November 19th of 2022, you had one of these shootings, a self-identified transgender named Anderson Lee Aldrich killed five people and injured 40 in an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. Some of you may remember that because of the numbers. I remember it. The question about, well, why would a trans person attack a gay nightclub? Of course, they have a lot of arguments, you know, in the gay community with the transgender people. They say, why are you doing that? Just be what you're wanting to be. The gays don't understand the transgenders. I hear discussions like this regularly. The gays don't understand the transgenders because they're saying, you're just wanting to be gay, just do it. Just be gay. Don't mutilate your body. And I've always found that argument within their house of immorality to be somewhat interesting, but that's probably what motivated him, but he was transgender. Back in 2019, there was the transgender killing done by Alec McKinney, who killed one student and injured eight others at the Science and Technology, Engineering and Math School in Colorado. And that made the news, and of course it was quickly discovered they were transgender. On September 20th, 2018, Sonosha Mosley, self-identified transgender, killed three people and injured three others at a Rite Aid warehouse in Aberdeen, Maryland. I somehow remembered that one. I think I was watching the news the morning this was reported, 2018. And then when you look into this, you know, a lot of people will deny this. They say, oh, it has nothing to do with transgenderism. It does have something to do with transgenderism, particularly those who are on these very high-powered drugs, sex change drugs. There are the operations, and then, of course, there are the medications, the hormones. And they have an effect on people. I've read extreme emotional swings. Would that make sense? That if you take a girl, a female who's been a female all of her life, and all of a sudden, let's say she's 15 years old, and you subject her to male testosterone, I wonder if there's any chance that likelihood that that might affect them emotionally. Well, yes, it does, but it also makes them psychotic. Too many of them. Too many of them. Too many of them have such regrets. And we're beginning now to see this be published. You know, it finally leaks out. The government has hid this information from us for a long time. But all of a sudden we're now able to see much of this. And we can now know that a lot of these transgenders have such severe regret that they begin to hate themselves so much that they just want to die. For example, this Westman fella killed himself. Committed suicide after the shooting Wednesday morning. They hate themselves. It was reported by some of the friends of Westman that he hated children. He deliberately targeted children. You see this in that word I couldn't think of that Debbie thought of very quickly, manifesto. They're manifestos that they leave behind. Their intentions are often made clear in these postings, these writings, these documents that we can then go read. So this is a problem, and it will continue to be a problem. But I got to thinking about this, and I wanted to address this from the scriptures a little bit. Regardless of what causes a person to do this, obviously there must be some connection between this mentality of mass murder, of self-hate, hatred of children. There must be some connection to the transgender ideology. And it is an ideology. It is pushed upon young people. People who do not need to be, girls who do not need to be talked into believing that they're actually male, and males who do not need to be talked into believing that they're females, by their own parents, who get on the internet and social media and boast about what they've accomplished. I'm often in disbelief when I watch some of those videos. They're the ones that need to be put in prison. The parents of the kids, they need to be punished for what they're doing to their children. But regardless of that, we need to consider something. The Bible addresses the mentality, whether it's called by hormone drugs, whether it's called by caused by other drugs, or no drugs, and purely psychological, or evil. The Bible does address it. In passages like, we'll look at the one that Thad read earlier, passages like 2 Timothy chapter 3. But first, before we get to that, I was immediately, when I heard that the Westman character hated children, and of course was also transgender, so he was just bent on killing kids. I thought about that. Thought, what does it take to aim a rifle at children? In this case, once that window broke, you know, sadly nobody inside the room had like a shotgun to take a few blasts at that window when he broke that window and started shooting through it, but that's history now. But what does it take for someone to aim a rifle, semi-automatic rifle, at a bunch of children and just shoot, just indiscriminately, trying to kill? What would that take? Here's what it takes. The Bible talks about this. This is how far the Gentile world had gone in the past. Now, we have to give a little bit of backup information behind Ephesians chapter 4. When Paul, by the time he gets to this verse 19 that we're going to look at, he had said in verse 17, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the futility or vanity of their mind. Something they had done or learned impacted the way they thought, their minds. Their minds were, and we think today of, like I said, of some of these drugs, drugs that are intended to help psychosis that may be doing damage to young people, and they're finding more and more out about this, particularly the overdosing on hormones. But here he said that their minds were affected. Now look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. So their ability to be rational and to rationally think, or we say reason, to be able to reason through things from an ordinary common perspective, common sense perspective, that's gone. Their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the what? Do you think people get tired of hearing us, like on the radio, talk about the Bible as an instruction book, as an instruction manual for life, that it helps us not only spiritually but also physically? I know they do. I know people get tired of hearing that. Or the importance of speaking where the Bible speaks, being silent where it's silent, But what was the problem? What was the culprit here in the lives of these people who became what we're about to see? Ignorance. Ignorance of God. Not knowing God means not having a biblical worldview. The other worldviews are not working. The other worldviews are failing. You think of socialism, communism. Has that ever been successful anywhere it's ever been tried? The New Yorkers are getting ready to try it again if they vote Mamdani into the position of mayor of New York City. They're going to try it again. It has never worked. It has always failed. It's an ideology. It's humanism. It's humanism, but it's the government side of humanism. And it never works. It always fails. And we think in terms of some of the big religious movements, same way, same thing. These things fail. But I want you to get down to verse 19, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then he's going to go on and continue here, talking about how this sort of permeates the life and lifestyle. And there is no biblical worldview, as I was about to say earlier. It's some other worldview. People think differently. They have a different purpose, different motivations. They don't have the same goals as others that are talked about positively, or the way of life that is positively portrayed in Scripture. And I'm talking about passages like 1 Timothy 2:2. Let me break away to that just for a second here to show you what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we're to pray for kings and all who are in authority. I mentioned this on the radio this morning. That we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Godliness and honesty. Quiet, peaceful lives. That's what we want. That's what God's design is. But take a look at this word. In some Bibles, like for example, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the Revised Standard Version, render this word callous. And I think that's good. I think that's good. This Greek word, apalgeo, means insensible to pain. Callous. That's what we think of when we think of callous. Insensible to pain. If you apply that to attitude, if you make sort of a spiritual application of it, then it's apathy. Apathetic. They don't care. Look at these shooters. Look at their manifestos. They did not care. They didn't care about people. They didn't care about human life. They didn't care about the consequences of their actions. And they didn't care if they personally lived or died. And that's why they many times commit suicide, like the Westman fellow did. They don't care. What are we looking at? Well, in our English vernacular, we think of neuralgia. You know, people get neuropathy in their feet. And they can't. Dwayne has talked to me a lot about his situation. Get to the point where you can't feel your pedals on your car to try to drive it. Can't tell the difference between the accelerator pedal and the brake pedal because you can't feel anything there. That's a problem. And when we think of neuralgia, we think in terms of nerve damage, where its nerves are insensible to pain. You can't feel pain. That is the word that Paul used, the Holy Spirit used in Ephesians 4 and verse 19 to describe people. People. Totally insensitive to pain or to others and to their condition. This can permeate society. Paul in Romans chapter 3 went through a series of old, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all those references. You'll have them in your cross-reference Bibles right there in the margin if you wanted to look them up. Paul quotes from the Old Testament repeatedly in a series of verses that he reproduces, or pieces of them, emphasizing one point alone. One point alone. Sinful behavior, but different aspects of sinful behavior. Their throat is an open grave. When I read this, I do think a lot about how people talk today, and particularly about how young people talk. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is in their lips. So you're talking about using language that is so destructive that you could classify it as deadly, poisonous. Poisonous language. I mentioned somebody, I can't remember if I've mentioned this publicly. I was playing a game online, playing a game of Call of Duty, and I was waiting for Luke or somebody to get on and play with a game of Call of Duty. And so I thought, well, I'm going to play a game with some guys. And I didn't know the guys. If I do that, I don't open up the sound because I know how they talk. But I thought, I'm going to check these out and see if they know any other words than the four-letter words. They didn't. One of them was running with me, as we say. In other words, he was running with me in the sense of fighting with me. And don't know what color he was, but he called me repeatedly the N-word. And I thought, that's kind of funny. If he only knew what I looked like. But he kept calling me. And I thought, he can do that to me. Now, if I did that to him, we'd all be in heap big trouble if he saw what color. But I thought, listen to this language here. So I turned it off. But it was funny, but it was also sad. Some parts of it were funny and some of it was sad. And this typically characterizes the speech of young people. Those of you still in school know what I'm talking about. It's just pretty bad sometimes. So their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. And what does this also lead to? Look what I underlined here. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Is there any connection between this sort of mentality and murder? Yes. Yes, and that's what we're seeing. And their paths are ruin and misery. Well, that's the fallout after these shootings. I mean, just think of the parents of these kids and what has been done to them. I'm going to talk, as I have time here, I'm going to talk about, I need to hurry up here because I want to get to this point. I'll not comment on it now. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their... Why is there no fear of God before their eyes? Because we just read in Ephesians chapter 4 that their knowledge level when it comes to God is ignorance. It's the level of ignorance. They don't know God. If you don't know God... Now, why might some young people not know God? They haven't been taught God. They haven't been taught God, and so there's no fear of God before their eyes. You know, I was thinking about a tangent on this. If you go back in your Bible and you think of great judgments, I'm talking about comprehensive judgments, like, for example, the worldwide flood, Genesis 6, it encompassed all people. In Exodus chapter 20, including youths, in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 5, when he's warning about the idolatry and the fashioning of idolatrous images, and he talks about God visiting the iniquity of the parents to the sons of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Why did those kids hate God? Because their parents didn't teach them not to. The parents didn't teach them to love God. And I was just talking with someone yesterday. I said, I've decided that brethren, that Christians are now facing the same problem. Too many Christians are facing the same problem, dealing with the same problem that the world has created and been a part of with their children. Too many times, doctrinal positions are determined for parents by their children. I've been seeing this more and more. Otherwise faithful Christians, and sometimes strong churches, and all of a sudden they grow to be weak, and it turns out that what happened was the preacher or the elders of the church took a position that was just too hard for the kids. And it's typically relating to lasciviousness, which is the word that covers immodesty, and dancing. immodesty in speech and attire and language, and dancing. That's the word lasciviousness. It is, by the way, a sin, astelgeia. It's listed in the sin passages. And the parents change their positions on vital doctrinal issues because their children don't like the truthful position. And so the children, rather than parents teaching their children, the children are teaching the parents. And the parents take the positions that the kids want because the parents want to be able to accept the children and want to be able to have good, friendly relations with the children. They don't want to take a stand against the children. Now, I'm seeing this over and over, more and more, just throughout the brotherhood, but of course throughout the world. It's just a problem. Notice I highlighted some things in 2 Timothy 3. Paul said that people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive. Arrogance is another trait of too many of these mass shooters. Why would it be? Well, because they think they're God. They're in a God role, able to take life and give it. They point the gun and they say, I can kill you or I can save you alive. They sound like Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapters 3 and 4. Do you not know who I am? They sound like Pilate when he spoke to Jesus. Do you not know who I am? Of course, Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no power at all except it were given to you from above. That's the lesson that these kids don't know, though. They haven't learned. They're heartless, unappeasable, treacherous, reckless, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. As I said a minute ago, sadly, too many of these children are teaching their parents the standard. The parents are not taking a stand on truth. They want the kids to like them. They don't want to risk the kids being upset with them. So they let them create the moral and ethical standard. That's exactly how this goes. We see it over and over. I've seen it throughout my preaching life simply get worse. Simply get worse. But I want to talk a little bit about something I talked about on the radio this morning. And I have the full quote. I had to black out a word, because I didn't think it was appropriate. But Jen Psaki, the old White House press secretary, press spokeswoman, she was commenting on the fact that people were talking about thoughts and prayers given for the victims of this most recent shooting. I have seen this complaint now for the past several years, several times, among leading Democrats, progressive Democrats. I'm not talking about old school conservative Democrats. It's hard to find them. You know, I looked up to see if there were any pro-life Democrats in government right now. There is only one. There's only one. Henry Cuellar down in Texas, a representative, is actually pro-life. He is the only one. Isn't that something, how far that party has gone into what we call progressivism and just sin? They support homosexuality. They support abortion. They support transgenderism. And now they're supporting the rights of transgender shooters and criticizing people for praying about this. She said prayer does not end school shootings. Whoever said that it would, by the way? Whoever said that it would? Prayers do not make parents feel safe sending their kids to school. Prayer does not bring these kids back, even with the thoughts and prayer. Prayer does not bring these kids back. No one ever said that prayer can raise the dead. I thought it interesting how little these people knew about prayer. How little they understand about prayer. Why are people praying in these situations? Gavin Newsom said one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen a politician say. Now, this is the kind of thing someone says, and this guy wants to be president of the United States. And you just wish maybe his parents had spanked him a few times more. Something, you know, you're wishing something. He said, prayer. People offering these thoughts and prayers. He said, those kids were literally praying while they got shot at. Like that's a bad thing. Wouldn't it be a relief to any parent if you had a child in that situation where things are out of your control. You're somewhere else. Here they are in a schoolroom somewhere. Or a church auditorium, as they were in this case. And the way they exit life is praying. Would that make you happy with them, or would it make you upset with them? Gavin Newsom makes fun of the notion of they were literally praying while they were being shot at. What a fool, to use a good old Bible word. What a fool. That is a true fool. He's the fool of the book of Proverbs. And I was thinking, he doesn't understand prayer at all. Why don't these people understand? They don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They're proud of their biblical illiteracy. They make fun of prayer. But really, they don't understand prayer. There were any number of things that you could have prayed for in connection with this shooting or any other tragedy, even after lives are gone. I agree that prayer doesn't operate in the realm of the miraculous. I've preached on this here before. You're not going to pray to resurrect the dead. That's not God's design. The resurrection is planned to be taken care of by God, not by humans who are praying for people to be resurrected. You can't bring them back. I understand that. We appreciate that. That was not her point. Her point was derogatory, and that was the context of her statement, clearly. I not only read it, but I also saw the video. It was derogatory of prayer. And I thought, but aren't there other purposes of prayer? I didn't mention this on the radio this morning. I could make a big lesson on this. In Matthew chapter 24, what did Jesus tell the people to do when they saw the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place? What did they saw when Gentile troops, Luke 21:20, are amassing around in Judea, around Jerusalem? Flee into the mountains. Now, notice that at this point in Matthew 24, Jesus did not say in verse 16, let them, those who are in Judea, pray to God for him to remove them. He didn't say that. You know what it says. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. But look at verse 20. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. So there are some things under their control that were matters of option for them, whether or not they would avail themselves of the help that Jesus here provided, the instructions that he gave that would save their lives, or whether or not they didn't. Hey, so-and-so, are you going to leave? Are you going to head out, head for the hills, and escape this persecution or possibly death? Or are you just going to stick around Jerusalem and wait it out and see if everything ends up okay? You know, there could have been a discussion that some Jews might have had at that time. What's going to be up to the individual, whether or not they do what Jesus said do. But there was still a place for prayer. Now, I don't think the word pray, prayer, or prayed, or any form of the word is used anywhere else in Matthew chapter 24. But it is used in verse 20, but it's talking about things beyond their ability to control. So, things that relate to the overall occurrence, the judgment that was coming against the Jewish people. That's how prayer works. It doesn't replace duty, but we must not make fun of it because it still has a role. I mentioned on radio this morning, just quickly, no, I didn't mention this. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus told the disciples to do what? Watch and pray. There's a connection between prayer and watchfulness. They're tied together. That means there's something that I can do. Does that nullify the importance of the prayer? No, the prayer is connected to the watchfulness. Is it wrong for us to pay attention to people or to trends like this transgender shooting trend, or is it helpful? Is it helpful for us to be watchful and to pray about it? Some people are just foolish. They would argue with plain, obvious facts. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, be serious and watchful. Watchful in your prayers. He said, watchful because there may be opportunities that I don't want to miss taking advantage of doing things that are in connection with prayer. What about praying for 2 Thessalonians 3:1, praying that the Word of God have free course throughout the world? Well, when it does, am I watching for opportunities of people that might be interested in Bible study, picking up on things they might say and say about that? Have you ever thought about, I do this all the time, have you ever thought about what it says over here in the Bible? And try to direct them or try to lead them into further thought on the Scriptures. Be watchful in prayer. That's a good thing to do. I mentioned this morning Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to lose hope. Did you notice a connection between praying and not losing hope or not becoming discouraged? There is a direct correlation between those. Jesus said it. So they say, oh, thoughts and prayers, and they make fun of that. But thoughts and prayers would be exactly what we need in these situations. Now, there may be some action involved in it. I might even be able to flee some dangerous circumstance. I wonder if prayer mentally helps me, prepares me to do what I need to do in a situation like that. They know that it does. Researchers, studies of the mind and how it works know that this type of repetition and focused thought trains the mind. There is mental memory as there is muscle memory. And we can train our minds to react just as we train our bodies to react. And I mentioned focus on the radio this morning. Jesus praying three times. The boldness. How did the Sanhedrin perceive the boldness of Peter and John? Last point, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. How did they do that? How were they able to do that? Because these men had been regularly praying for boldness. An example of it is right here in this very chapter in verse 29. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak forth your word. What does it say two verses later? Then they spoke God's word with all boldness. Is there a connection between boldness and prayer? Isn't boldness something that we can actually see in people's lives, whether they're bold or not? Oh, there's direct. The Bible says there's a direct correlation between those. And then people make fun of thoughts and prayers. Don't be so quick to make fun of something that God has ordained. Don't be so quick to make fun of things. And that's what they're doing. They're making fun. That's what Newsom was doing. What a fool. He was making fun of something that God has ordained as a way of life for His people. Well, God knows what He's doing. He designed the human mind, knows how it works, and designed prayer to facilitate those things and the workings of the human mind. Rather than make fun of it, we ought to appreciate it. That's what a true Bible believer does. He appreciates what God has designed. Need to quit this morning. Maybe someone here this morning who's not a child of God. We want you to think about that. What if some tragedy struck and I weren't a child of God? Well, it would be a disaster. An eternal disaster. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. If you need to obey the Lord this morning, come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.